Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at WaveBreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wave Break podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder of Wave Break. And if you're new here at Wave Break, we help e-commerce stores stop leaving money on the table with done-for-you email marketing. And now today, before we get into today's episode, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about a guy named Blackbeard. The pirate. The pirate Blackbeard, right? And if you don't know who he is, which you probably do, Blackbeard was basically like the Bill Gates, Warren Buffett of pirates, and like the most notorious sea robber of all time. Basically what he did was, rob ships in North America and through the Caribbean and or Caribbean, however you want to say it, during this era called the Golden Age of Piracy. And basically what he did was like hang out and just like go and just like rob ships and steal their stuff. And he made a ton of money from it. I'm going to Google right now, how much did Blackbeard make? Let's see. His wealth in 2008 dollars would have been $12.5 million. This is from the Forbes top earning pirates list. I think this has since been discontinued. I don't think they still update this. I feel like that's a low ball, to be honest, and that's probably his personal wealth, too. Obviously, he had a bunch of guys who, like a whole crew and ships and ships and ships. Like, he had a huge fleet. Like, he basically had an army of pirate robbers, and I'm not, like, an expert on him or anything, but I just think it's really interesting just that, like, pirates were a thing, and I know they're still a thing, but, like, you know, like, the whole pirates, right? Like, you want to be a pirate growing up, whatever. I had a pirate birthday party. Anyway, so like, Dylan, what's the point of this? Why are you telling me about pirates? Well, here's the thing. He made a ton of money. You can make a ton of money, but you don't even have to steal it. The money is literally already in your business. It's like you would just go rob another business, except like literally hundreds of thousands of dollars are already sitting inside your business. And the place they're sitting is in your email marketing, right? In the strategy and the execution of your email marketing program. If you do it right and you keep it up, you can make a ton of money with email even in 2019. Like, it doesn't even matter. Email is still a no-brainer. It's generating tons of revenue for my clients. It made one of my clients last month over $400,000 in a single week. And so how do you do this? How do you do this with email? How do you pull this off? Well, that's why I put together the e-commerce email success checklist. If you want to learn exactly how to do that, you can download the checklist, go through it, and basically in less than 5 minutes, you'll know exactly what you need to do to increase your email revenue. So if you think of the 80-20 rule, this checklist is going to show you the simple things that you can do in your email marketing to unlock 6 to 7 figures of additional revenue per year, if not more, depending on the size of your business. And you can get that checklist at emailsuccesschecklist.com. Link is going to be down in the show notes. That's emailsuccesschecklist.com. Go check that out if you haven't already. It's not going to be up for much longer. It's been out for a while now, and I am going to take it down soon and replace it with something else, something secret that's on the way. But go get that if you're interested in learning basically the exact strategy that we use to help our clients make over $400,000 in 1 week. The whole list of everything we did for that client is in there. You follow those things, you can get results like that. And if you're enjoying the podcast, If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe on iTunes to make sure you never miss an episode. And thank you so much for listening, and thank you for leaving reviews. I really appreciate it. Now to the main event. Every week on the show, I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores and e-commerce brands, and I get them to share their secrets. And this week, it is no different. I'm bringing on my friend, John Tucker. He's the founder and CEO of a company called Helpflow, and they do... Basically, what they are 24/7 live chat team for your e-commerce business. And they've worked with hundreds of e-commerce stores and over 100 active clients. And they've just done, I think they've done over a million chats, and just like they've crushed it, right? I've known John for a while, been trying to get him on the podcast for a while. He finally came on. He's a real focused guy. He's really good at that. He kept saying no, and then finally convinced him to come on the show. And today he's going to be tearing down his entire strategy that him and his team use to just crush live chat for people and to turn it from this burden into this just like ATM that prints money. And so I'm super excited for this episode. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, John.
Thank you so much, Dylan. I'm pumped to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. We've known each other for a while now, so it's good to finally get you on the podcast. I've been trying to get you on for, months now. So it's good to have you.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, totally. So first things first, like before we get into things, like what's your story? Because you have a really unique business doing live chat for e-commerce brands. Like how did you get into that?
Yeah, so I started out like a lot of web guys, I think, basically like building websites for businesses, and then it turned into driving traffic. And ultimately what happened at a certain point is we started focusing a lot on how to drive better conversions for sites. And we got live chat onto a number of client sites, and you know they were running the live chat themselves like a normal way to do it. And it worked really well. It drove a lot of conversions for them. And the clients knew that. But then what I started to notice is a lot of these clients, they wouldn't turn on live chat. They wouldn't keep it on. And it all came down to them being too busy to run it themselves, or their team felt interrupted by live chat throughout the day. And so I got to the point with a couple clients in particular where I said, look, just like let us run this for you so we can, you know, help build a business case for you to hire somebody to run this. And they said, great, let's do it. And so we ran it, we ran the live chat for them. And then, each of them basically said, you know, this looks great. Like, what would it cost to just have you run it for us? Because you guys are doing a good job. And at first I said, well, we don't do that. We're not in the live chat business. We're an agency. And then enough clients said that where I was like, okay, there may be a business here, and, launched Helpflow out of that. So, we've been live for 4.5 years, done millions of chats, worked with hundreds of stores, and we basically provide 24/7 live chat teams now for a lot of e-commerce stores. And our team actually answers people's questions when they're on the site. So, 4.5 years later, it's cranking, it's growing. And, that's how we got into it.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. And so just like a quick high level overview for people before we dive in, like what exactly is live chat? Like, so is this, are you using bots for this? Is this like humans? And like, this is like the little pop-up like, ba-dung, like how can I help you type thing?
Exactly. That is exactly what it sounds like. So basically, if somebody's on the site and they have a question, they can click the chat box and communicate with one of our humans and ask a question. But what also happens a lot is if somebody's on the site and it looks like they might have a question based on how they're browsing the site, or they put something into their cart and then they back out, we can invite them to chat. So it'll be like a little pop-up with a sound potentially, and it'll ask them if they have a question. They'll say, yeah, actually, I was wondering like when is this going to arrive or something? And we spark up that conversation, we answer their question, and we basically move them through the purchase process. So live chat is basically a way for your human visitors to get help from our human agents to get more of them to actually end up buying.
Nice. That's awesome. And so now that we have that out of the way, so like what is the problem? Like why do I need this? Like there's so many different Shopify apps and so many different, you know, things that I can do to increase my conversion rate, right? Like A/B testing and things like that. Like why would I need live chat?
So live chat is really table stakes when it comes to conversion optimization. no matter how well your site is designed or how you have your content structured to answer people's questions, at some point, like, people need help from a human for a simple question. To give you an example, like, we've got a client that that sells golf accessories, and they've got a giant banner throughout the entire checkout process and on product pages that says, you know, free shipping to the entire U.S. And we still get questions from people that say, how much is shipping if I live in Texas? And so that's an example where people just sometimes need to talk to humans and have a discussion for certain questions. And live chat is the way to do that. People are not going to pick up the phone and, you know, wait to talk to your team. They're not going to shoot over an email and wait for a response. Some people will do that, but you miss out on a lot of potential buyers by just not, making it difficult to get answers to questions. And so live chat is the simplest way for your visitors to get answers to their questions. It may not be the simplest way for you to give them answers, since you know, you need to be online and spend the time doing it. But you know, the visitor comes first, and the visitors who is ultimately going to convert. And so live chat is the easiest and the best way to get people answers to questions so that they can actually end up buying your product.
Right. And now, before we dive a little deeper, like, with that, that just gave me an idea for a question. Like, so is this something that you need 24/7? Because obviously, like, people have questions all the time. Like, so typically, you know, a business is open 9 to 5, 10 to 6, whatever. Like, what have you tested, like, different hours and being 24/7 and like what that looks like?
Absolutely. So different sites have different traffic trends, but typically what we see is anywhere from 30 to 40% of a website's traffic is going to come on nights and weekends, so outside of those business hours. So what we found is, you know, with such a big chunk of traffic coming on nights and weekends, it's super important to be there for those visitors. When we chat with people, or when you chat with people, the conversion rate is going to be anywhere from 4 to 7 times higher than for people that don't chat. So you don't want to miss opportunities to chat. You want to be there for people when they're on your site, potentially interested in buying. So nights and weekends is super, super important, because, you know, 30 to 40% of the traffic is going to come on nights and weekends. So you definitely want to be there on live chat.
Got it. I see. And so, like, what type of, so obviously you've run this for a lot of stores. After you implement this in a store, like, if you would look back on that store, like, what kind of money do stores leave on the table by, like, not doing this?
A ton, man. The actual increase in conversion rate really depends on the quality of their traffic, what they've already done on the website to boost conversions, and obviously the product and the buying cycle and those types of things. But typically what we see is anywhere from 10 to 30% increase in site-wide conversion rate by getting a well-run chats strategy onto the site 24/7. Again, it varies, but it's one of those levers that it's hard to pull, to like just get 24/7 live chat onto the site right out of the gate. And obviously, unless you have a team like us, but it's something that can drive just massive amounts of missed revenue. For example, I know you guys do a lot of abandoned cart strategies and everything with email. That's something we've seen really good results with as well, is, you know, we can trigger invites to happen when people are in the cart or when they back out of the cart. We can kind of predict if somebody's going to abandon, and we can spark up a conversation with them while they're still on the site before they abandon. And we can also integrate, you know, into Klaviyo's abandoned cart emails, or really any abandoned cart emails, so that, you know, part of the abandoned cart sequence could be, hey, like, is there a simple question holding you back? You know, click here to chat with Sarah on our site live right now. They click a button and it opens up the chat box on their site. So there's a lot of missed opportunities by people having questions that hold them back from buying. And with live chat, like, you can recapture a lot of that revenue.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now that we know what we're missing out on by not having live chat, like, what do we do next? Like, where do we get started?
So I think the key thing to do is to get live chat onto the site, at least during business hours. I mean, I'm biased, so I would say, you know, hire Helpflow and we can be live 24/7 in 10 days. Like, we can be live on your site very quickly. But the end result, whether you work with us or not, should be to basically get live chat onto the site. That's number one. And then number two, there's a couple key mistakes that you want to be really, really careful to avoid. One of those is if you have the person that does email support and phone support and order fulfillment and, you know, filling the coffee in the office, if you have that person also doing live chat, what typically happens is it'll actually hurt your site's conversion rate by having that person do live chat. And the reason why is they're already so busy with all these other things that they're doing, such as email tickets or phone calls, that they end up getting chats that come in and then they have slow responses to those chats. It's really important to respond to incoming chats within like 8 to 10 seconds. If you're not only dedicated to live chat, then it's really hard to have that fast response rate. And so that's one of the big mistakes that we see stores make. And frankly, that's a big part of the reason why stores come to us is they need a dedicated live chat only person. And so that's something you want to get right if you're going to do it internally, is make sure the person that is running live chat is only responsible for live chat. That way you're able to get really fast responses and you don't have any missed chats. That's really key. The reason why that can hurt your conversion rate if you do this part wrong is you will get people that are on the site that would have bought without live chat. They will then engage with the live chat and ask some questions, and then they'll get frustrated with the lack of response or the slow response, and they'll bail. They won't even actually end up buying. And so live chat is one of the few marketing techniques you can use that, if it doesn't work, it doesn't just not increase your revenue. It can actually cause your revenue to go down. So super important to make sure you're getting that response time really, really quick. And you do that by having a dedicated live chat only agent. That's one of the key mistakes that we see. The second mistake that's really important to get right is you need to invite people to actually chat based on what they're doing on the site. Obviously people can click the chat box and ask a question, but you want to make sure that you also invite people to chat based on what they're doing on the site, because a lot of the chats are going to come from those greetings. You're sparking up a conversation with somebody. So that's really important to configure those greetings to happen at the right time. And then the last thing is pre-chat forms. With any sort of conversion optimization technique, you want to make it very easy for people to actually convert. And so with live chat, what you want to do is make it easy for somebody to click the chat box and ask a question, have a conversation. What a lot of stores do is they use pre-chat forms to like gather the email address and the name and the phone number and are you interested in sales or support? Like they ask all these questions. There's better ways to get that information during the actual conversation. But it's really important not to use a pre-chat form. Otherwise, you miss out on a lot of the potential chats that could happen when people click the chat box. So those are the key things that we see. Number one, like get live chat onto the site because it's going to help you convert. Make sure you're doing it with somebody that is only focused on live chat, whether it's in-house or out of house, so that they can respond really quickly. Make sure that you're using chat greetings to engage with people based on what they're doing on the site. And then also don't use pre-chat forms to put a barrier in front of somebody before they can chat with you.
Right. And that last one is something that I've seen a lot nowadays, especially since like everyone's just trying to like automate everything.
Yeah, exactly. They try to gather a whole bunch of information in the form. But in reality, like you can get that information. I'm not saying we don't get emails, but you get it during the conversation in, you know, conversational ways. So you don't need to do it as in a pre-chat form. And the main issue there is it stops you from getting chats. Like some of the people that see the form don't fill it out and they just back out. That's a missed opportunity for you as a brand to engage with somebody that you may be able to get to convert.
Right. And so after you have the conversation started, like, what does that typically look like? So obviously, like, you help people with whatever question they have, but like, how do you make sure that turns into a sale? Like, are you ending with a call to action? Are you trying to push certain products? Like, what does the actual flow of the conversation look like with prospects on the website?
So there's a couple different types of questions that will come up. One of them is, you know, what we call navigational questions. We need to have a much better branded way to describe that, I guess. But it's basically somebody kind of already knows what they're looking for and they just need help finding it on the site. And so if somebody asks, you know, do you sell golf cart chargers or something, we will guide them to that section of the site, and then we will help them find the appropriate product for whatever their need is. So we will guide them to the appropriate area, and then we'll help them find that product. That's a navigational question, pretty straightforward. A lot of the questions are like that. Another question might be, you know, what's best for my use case? Sticking with the golf cart example, like, I need a charger, but I don't know like which one is correct for my golf cart. I don't know what year my golf cart is. I don't know anything about my golf cart, but it won't start and I need a charger. In those cases, we'll go through a conversation flow that basically helps us gather the information we need to get them to the actual right product. So more of like a recommendation based on their need rather than a navigational answer to get them to the product they already know that they need. So a lot of how we handle the chat will depend on the type of question that it is. As far as pushing people to buy, we actually take a fairly low pressure approach with visitors, because what we found is if we provide a really good visitor experience for visitors and answer their questions and help them move forward on the path they're already on, then the conversion is stronger than if we just go straight to, coupon codes or straight to like pushing people to buy today because there's only two products left in stock when they know that's not true. If you get too conversion focused or too much like a used car salesman, people kind of disengage on the chat. It's very easy for them to start ignoring or to start, you know, responding slower or to kind of just bail out of the conversation. So what we found is if we focus on making the visitor experience awesome, the ultimate conversion takes care of itself rather than getting, you know, too promotional. With that said, over time, one of the metrics that we can influence is average order value, right? Or basket size. So once we've worked with a client for a long period of time, a couple months at least, we start to develop some campaigns to say, okay, what could we do to cross-sell and upsell additional products related to what they're buying? So if somebody's buying a golf cart charger and we're helping them through that process, maybe they also need, you know, cup holders or something. We'll cross-sell or upsell something that's based on what they have in their cart. So that's a good way to suggest products without being too pushy, and that ultimately drives up the average order value.
Nice, cool. Yeah, that's interesting. I know like so many people like are gonna want to just like spam people like buy now. Like I love how you said like, oh, there's only two left in stock. Yes. Like, you see that a lot on like the whole, like you get targeted with a Facebook ad and it's like only two left in stock. It's like, okay, like you probably wouldn't be running this ad if you actually only had two products left in stock. And people get used to that and then they can see through it and then they stop buying up. So that's a great point. And so my next question for you is like, so what does this look like from like, speaking of like, you know, looking at a Facebook ad on my phone versus desktop, like what does a desktop mobile split look like on live chat and how do you handle that? Because obviously on your phone, there's a lot less space. And I imagine some people who are listening to this might be afraid like, ooh, a lot of our traffic's on mobile. Like I would love live chat, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, be too intrusive. Like is live chat too intrusive? I don't want to make people mad. Like what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, any site nowadays is going to get a massive portion of their traffic on mobile. That's something that any site has to confront. With live chat, the way that we approach it and the way we've kind of got the system structured, the mobile experience is optimized for mobile and then the desktop is optimized for desktop. The way that that shows up or like the way that it's optimized is the chat process, like the invites or the greetings that happen on mobile happen in a much less intrusive way or much smaller way than they would on desktop. Also, the actual chatting experience on mobile is optimized for mobile, so it's easy for the visitor to, you know, have that conversation while continuing to browse the site. It's really, really important to make sure that you optimize the design and the UX of the chat experience for mobile versus desktop. And so we've been able to do that. And to be honest, like a lot of the chat systems have done that, like the chat software that's out there. The second thing that's important, though, is to be able to track that somebody is on mobile and to kind of run that conversation a little bit differently than you might with somebody on desktop. For example, if somebody's on desktop and you have some sort of big resource you want to refer them to, like a buyer's guide or something that has a specification sheet that has all of the data and a nice giant table for them to review, on some sites that works really well, but it works really well on desktop. If you refer somebody to that on mobile, even on the same site, it's a very different reaction. It's a very different conversion. And so one of the things that we do is we're able to see if somebody's on desktop or on mobile. We can see what page they're on. We can see a ton of information about them while they're chatting. And so we treat mobile visitors differently than we do with desktop visitors, even if it's on the same site or the same products. We kind of tailor responses a little bit differently on mobile.
Got it. And do you guys have your own in-house software for live chat, or do you use like some other like SaaS or something?
Yeah, so sort of is the way I answer that. Our entire system is built on top of Live Chat Inc., livechat.com, which is one of the biggest live chat providers. It's not the biggest. And so we built it on top of their system with a ton of customizations on our end for our agents, ton of customizations on how it interacts with the client site. The reason why we did that in the early days of the business is there are so many live chat softwares out there that it just didn't make sense for us in those early days to like build our own chat system right out of the gate to start to grow this business. And so we were able to partner with Live Chat Inc. in the early days and basically just customize a ton of things. Their system is built really, really well to be able to customize basically anything that we need to customize. So the way I answer that is that the entire system is customized to what we need, but the actual code base, if somebody were to dig into it after this podcast interview, is built on Live Chat Inc.
Got it. And so like if somebody wants to do this in-house, do you recommend Live Chat Inc. for that?
I do, yeah. Live Chat Inc. is a really good good system. But to be honest, there's a ton of them out there. That's a common question we get. It's like somebody says, okay, we want to do it in-house. Like I like Live Chat or I like HelpFlow, but our business is too complicated for you to learn, which is like that's not accurate. That's a whole separate part of discussion probably. But that's always the first question they ask is, you know, which software should we use? That is the simplest part of the process of running live chat is, you know, which software to use. If you already have a help desk like Zendesk or something like that, that already has live chat built in, I would just recommend using that because it probably integrates pretty nicely into your workflow. But again, like solve the software problem in the next hour and just make a decision and then start thinking about who's going to run the chat. How are we going to track it? What's our metrics? How are we going to know if it's making us money? Those are the most important things that need to be decided.
Right. And I like how you said, like, what are our metrics? Like, what should we be tracking? Like, if you had to pick, like, top two, like, KPIs to track when you launch live chat, what are those?
I think the two metrics that I would look at, one is the ROI of live chat. So specifically, the conversion rate related to people that chat compared to people that don't chat, as well as the revenue produced from people that chat. So if you wanted to keep it really, really simple, conversion rate and revenue from people that chat, all of which can be tracked directly within Google Analytics. Like that's one of the reasons we like Live Chat Inc. is it integrates natively into GA. The second set of metrics, or second metric really, is response times of how fast you're responding in the actual chats. And then customer satisfaction scores. You can ask people to rate the chat at the end of the chat. And so you want to track that over time. So I know that's more than two metrics. It's really two groups of metrics, the money related to chat, and then the experience related to chat are really the things you want to track very closely.
Right. That makes total sense. I know I feel like so many store owners do this thing where it's like, they just like, oh wow, like they get that like FOMO and they're like, oh wow, that seems really cool, and then they'll like launch it and then it's like they don't know what they're tracking or like what they're looking for, and then it's like a few weeks later like, ah, I don't know if it's working or not, and they'll pull it and like they don't even know if it's working or not. So I'm really glad you brought that up. And now as we start to wrap up here for the show, we're starting to run out of time. Are there any like kind of final thoughts around live chat that you'd like to share? Just like, you know, one final common mistake or one kind of like getting started tip or something like that that we can end on?
Yeah, I think related to what you guys do and I think where the heads of many listeners are at, think of how you can integrate live chat into like specific campaigns that you're doing on your site or, you know, specific initiatives. For example, I mentioned the abandoned cart process. That's an easy win for a lot of site owners. If you take a look at how many, you know, carts actually end up abandoning, it's a massive number. Like I've seen studies where it's like 70% of people that start the actual shopping cart end up abandoning. And for a lot of sites that are doing any amount of revenue, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. It's crazy. And so that's something that, you know, you can get pretty ninja with is tailoring those chat invites based on what people are doing in the shopping cart to predict that they're going to abandon, and then also integrating live chat into your cart abandonment emails and everything else that you're already doing. So apart from just having live chat on the site 24/7, which is super, super important, you know, it's also key to get pretty methodical with how you engage with people. The last thing I would mention as well, just because this is something we come up against a lot, is businesses always, you know, they hear about HelpFlow and they say, oh, that sounds great. Like, this would work really well. Like, live chat's going to work really well for our site, but our business is just too complicated. You know, you're not gonna be able to learn my business, so I can't work with you, but we're definitely going to explore doing live chat. That's something that we focused on as a business from day one years ago. Is we knew that if we could learn our clients' businesses and truly do a good job on the actual chats for a wide range of e-commerce businesses, we knew that we could have a huge impact for our clients. And so our onboarding process is extremely methodical to really gather and use the information we need to know answers to visitors' questions. And frankly, we've invested $1 million plus in the technical aspect of tools that our agents have and how we actually, you know, serve the right information to agents at the right time. So if you're sitting there thinking, this is great, but you can't learn my business, I would respectfully say you're wrong. And I'd be happy to kind of share more resources about that later. We'll include that in some of the resources we'll share at the end.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, that's something similar too, like to touch on, I mean, both those things, like number one, the abandoned cart. Like, that's such a low hanging fruit for so many businesses, because it's like, they think like, oh, I have abandoned cart, that's enough. But it's like one of the most, like you said, like people are leaving so much money on the table, and it's like they know it, but they don't realize the magnitude of it. So it's super cool that live chat is something you can do to improve that. And it makes total sense. I mean, I think the biggest thing with live chat is like, it's this, just like email for me. It's like this huge pain in the butt, right? Like, you got to sit in front of the computer 24/7. And the reality is, if you're listening to the show, like, that should not be your job. You're steering the ship. You're running things. Like, you shouldn't be the person answering live chat. But anyway, thanks so much for coming on the show, John. Really appreciate it. As we wrap up here, if somebody is experiencing, you know, if somebody wants to implement this strategy, this system, this live chat strategy and system into their business, what should they do next? Like, where can we go to learn more about what you do?
So I think the best resource to look at is the live chat blueprint that we put together. I'm really big on just like sharing expertise and value of like how you could do it yourself. Like, obviously, you know, like, we can do it for you. I'm not here to pitch that. And so I think the best resource that you can use is the blueprint we put together. And we've got a link for this show. It's at helpflow.net/wavebreak, helpflow.net/wavebreak. And in that live chat blueprint, it'll walk you through in a fairly structured way, like, you know, how to configure live chat, the mistakes to avoid that I mentioned today, and then additional resources as well. So that's definitely your best bet. helpflow.net/wavebreak.
Awesome. And I'll be sure to link that up down in the show notes below. And of course, if you're interested in working with John, you head to helpflow.net. Next steps are going to be there. Yeah, this was a really good episode, because I've always been, like I said, I've been wanting to get you on the podcast for a while, and it was good to have you on and to learn more about what exactly you do and how you achieve these results that you've been telling me you've been achieving for clients. And it's super cool. It's super good to have you. Thanks for coming on the show, John.
Thank you so much, Dylan. I really appreciate it.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. you don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge, and it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Waybreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to waybreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at waybreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.